This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Now, before we get into Christmas,
Ashadu.
This madness has gone on for long enough. I'm drawing the line in the sand right now. No more Christmas trees. We are done with Christmas trees.
I'll take a page out of Matt Walsh's book and take a bold step.
I'm going to take a bold step that will only shock and offend you until you realize that I come not as your oppressor, but as your liberator.
I'm also here to try to free you from the lies and deception.
I seek to free you and free all of us once and for all from the tyranny of Christmas trees.
Out of my genuine love and care. Now we'll get back to that in a few.
Christmas trees are canceled.
Now people have taken the conspiracy theory to a whole nother level, and unfortunately with Elon Musk taking charge. But we actually want good for Elon Musk. We want to help him because he's actually somebody who also believes in a higher power.
Do you believe there's a power higher than people?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot we don't know. We don't know, why does reality exist? Where did it come from? Where are the aliens?
So God willing, after Elon sees this, and also he gets to see how Santa Claus himself came to the truth.
Ashadu.
Maybe Elon Musk, inshallah, God willing, will also. Now I'm going to comment on some very sad news on what just happened in Germany, the Christmas terror attack that just happened, where this sick, deranged, evil individual took his car and plowed into hundreds of people, killing 5, injuring around 200. Now, there's also another sick and twisted plot to this story. That's where the conspiracy theory with Elon Musk comes into play, where they actually think and are consumed with and are spreading these lies that somehow this evil maniac was actually a Muslim doing taqiyya. And when he got captured, he screamed out Allahu Akbar, which is synonymous to Hallelujah, which means praising the Most High. So even after all the clear, lucid evidence that this evil man was an enemy to Islam, and remember, Islam simply means to submit your will to the will of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He was also featured on the BBC, highlighting much of the anti-Islam work that he was actually doing. There's just too many examples. For 20 years, he lived opposite to Islam. For 20 years, he was fighting against Islam. So the idea that somehow he was a Muslim, a sleeper cell, practicing taqiyya, I mean, this is indeed, as we'll break down, such an outlandish, farcical, asinine idea to think of. Now, what tops it off is him committing one of the most evil things you can do, blaspheming against God by denying someone who's so dear to God. That's Jesus and his blessed mother. He went on to post and was somebody who promoted this idea that Jesus, peace be upon him, was in the depths of the hellfire, his mother. He was posting the Zionist rabbi who was saying such blasphemous, evil things about someone who is so dear to not only God, but obviously as a Muslim, we love and revere Jesus, and he's somebody who is close to the hearts of over 2 billion Muslims worldwide. There's even a chapter named after his blessed mother, Maryam, Mary, in the verbatim word of God Almighty, the Quran. So when someone does such evil things, this is how somebody can get a free ticket to the hellfire, by insulting Jesus, slandering him and his blessed mother. Just this fact alone shows that this person was not a Muslim, and he was far, far away from Islam. He was, as we'd call him, a helper, a human shaitan. So let's get into this taqiyya, this concept, which is not a part of Islam, of deception, hypocrisy, that actually what we're seeing now is a trend of people who are actually doing this concept, this taqiyya they call it, and they're projecting it onto Muslims and Islam. And I'll give you a clear example of this.
And because I was, I'm an English speaker, and I was able to have this kind of cover story that I'm an American college student that came to Palestine to learn more about the history, so they would open up to me and tell me their actual perspective of the Jews.
This is a video that just came out, and I want to give you another example of just lies. This is part of it, and I'll get to the specifics of the taqiyya, but have a look at this. This is such a historically documented event, and look how just the blatant lies that they've actually programmed themselves to believe. Unbelievable.
I said, what do you mean the capital of Palestine? This Jerusalem was never the capital of any Muslim sovereignty that was in this land for 14,000 years ever that they ruled here.
Yeah. Now let's look at what not a Muslim historian says, but this is actually a non-Muslim academic historian has to say to counter this.
The Caliph goes, I want to meet some of the Jews living in Jerusalem. And Sophronius goes, there are no Jews in Jerusalem. And the Caliph goes, what do you mean there's no Jews in Jerusalem? The city is holy to the Jews. How could there be no Jews? He says, well, us Christians, we pretty much murder them every chance we get. We really hate Jews. In fact, in the war we just did against the Persians, the Jews sided with the Persians. And so we murdered 20,000 Jews in Jerusalem, completely purged the city of its remaining Jewish population. And Omar ibn al-Khattab goes, no, this is wrong. You can't do this. And so he turns to a Jewish convert to Islam, and he says, I need you to find me 80 Jewish families that were willing to volunteer to move to Jerusalem so we can reestablish a Jewish presence in this city. And that's how the Muslims conquered Jerusalem. And that's the stuff that's left out of your history book.
Look at that, 20,000, what had happened because they had sided with the Persian, they committed treachery, treason, whatever they did. But then you had the Medina Charter at that time. This is how people were protected who were living in Medina, including the Bani Israel, the children of Israel. And then they committed treachery, treason. This is a side note here. And then what had happened with a certain tribe who had went and committed this treason, violated a treaty, and what had happened from there. But just compare now to this 20,000. This is just a side note when you watch this video. But let's get back into the specifics now of this concept of deception, which is not a part of Islam.
I actually told him a different cover story that I'm an American Muslim. I was born in New York. My parents are from Syria. So my parents didn't want me to know about Islam. They didn't even teach me Arabic. They wanted me to be a total American. But I want to learn more about my roots, about Islam. I want to learn Arabic.
It's very clever.
So it's very clever because...
So take a look at what they're trying to project onto Muslims and Islam. Did you hear what he said? He said this was very clever. Look at this. This taqiyya that they're actually doing and then projecting it, trying to project it and spread to the world as if this is a part of Islam. Unbelievable.
I'm Syrian, I'm Muslim, I want to learn more, help me find my roots. So he opens up fully. So then he goes, wait a second, I don't believe that you're actually Muslim. So what do you mean, why not?
Now we have in Islam this concept of, and this is another proof of Islam, because all the details, the proofs that it was revealed, the Quran from the Creator, it's not just blind faith, how the Quran has been authentically preserved, how it's been memorized by millions living today, the signs and prophecies, the miracles that are in there, that someone would come to a realization after sincerely looking into it, that there's no way possible that this Quran compiled over 23 years could have come from Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. There's no way possible. They've even done linguistic analysis of the words of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad. This is an interesting note. I just spoke with one of my guests not too long ago, and they concluded that the words of the Quran are not the words of Prophet Muhammad. This his hadith and the Quran are totally two different people speaking. Unbelievable. This is on top of all the facts that are there to prove that there's no way, along the point that he couldn't read, he could not write, he was unlettered. There's no way that he could have compiled this book. That's another discussion. But now let's get into what the Quranic concept, Islamic concept is when it comes to situations like this. I'll give you just a few examples, and this is a topic to explore even more for yourself. You look at, because honesty is a virtue in Islam. It's held to a whole nother level. And lying also is something that is looked so down upon. This is something that I'll prove it from the authentic sources here. Now look at just a few examples when you can actually say something that's not true. One, your wife cooks you a meal. Let me just give you simple, basic examples. When your wife cooks you a meal, it's not so good. She put too much salt and she says, how was it, honey? And you know it was horrible. It tastes horrible. But if you say it's horrible, you're going to have a horrible night. You're allowed to say it's wonderful, honey. When you're reconciling between people, when two brothers are fighting, and now you go to the other brother and you say, look, your brother loves you. He told me he misses you, but he didn't actually say that. But you're for a greater good. You're trying to reconcile between people. That's another exception. Another exception is when the Muslims, for example, where my family's from Bosnia. And you had in Albania and Turkey and all over the world, when the Jews were fleeing persecution from the Christians, they fled to Muslim lands. Historical fact that Muslims saved the Jewry. This is according to Jewish historians and academics. And the Muslims, when the Nazis were knocking on the doors, are there any Jews here? And the Muslims, they were hiding the Jews. They were hiding them, protecting them in Sarajevo, the capital of Bosnia. They were actually putting the Jews, the women in niqabs, like the Muslim women. This is a historical fact. So what were they doing? They were showing moral courage, civil actual disobedience, defying unjust authority. They were resisting and disobeying because they were trying to protect life, human life. So these are just a few examples. One more out of necessity, if somebody's there trying to take your life. So these are the few exceptions. But let's also now just give you an example from the Bible itself. Let me go through these real quickly. In Genesis 22, Abraham and Sarah, it's quoted, "And Abraham said, Sarah, she is my sister." You see what's happening here? He's trying to protect Sarah by not saying that she's his wife. She's saying my sister, because then Pharaoh would end up taking her for himself. So it's a longer story, but you get the point. Out of fear for his wife, he ends up lying in this situation to protect her. In 1 Kings 22:22, the lying spirit, a divine allowance for deception. I mean, tell me, you're going to go ahead and play this. You can go and play this game and say, look, that's Dakia. Look at this. This is in 1 Kings 22:22. In Genesis 26:7, Isaac, like his father Abraham, deceived others about the identity of his wife, Rebekah, out of fear for his life. Are you getting the point? Are you getting the connection? Here's another great example of moral courage, defying unjust authority. In Exodus 1:19, you have the Hebrew midwives lying to Pharaoh to protect the children, because Pharaoh was executing all the male baby boys. So these midwives, they protected the little children. And this is what's allowed. This is an example of what's allowed in Islam. Are you getting the connection, the parallels here? But now let me give you the norm. Look at this. This is an authentic statement from the last and final messenger sent to man. He was sent to Elon Musk, to President Trump, to everyone living today. He was the final messenger. Jesus prophesied of him coming. And coincidentally, Prophet Muhammad prophesied on the return of Jesus coming back in his second coming. That's another discussion. But he said, peace and blessings be upon him. Truth leads to righteousness. If righteousness leads to paradise, a person will keep telling the truth and striving for the truth until that person is recorded as a truthful person before God, Allah. Falsehood leads to wickedness. Lying leads to wickedness, and wickedness leads to the fire. A man will keep telling lies and striving to tell lies until he is recorded as a liar before God Almighty, Allah. Another authentic statement from the last and final messenger sent to mankind. Just remember, I keep repeating, last and final messenger sent to mankind, because he was the messenger predicted to come. So the people who deny him at the end, they're going to be in the hellfire. Look at this. The signs of a hypocrite are three. When he speaks, he lies. When he makes a promise, he breaks it. And when he's entrusted, he betrays it. So what do you get out of this? That hypocrisy is something that Muslims want to stay far away from. Lying is something Muslims want to stay far away from. Here's another authentic hadith. The one who tells a lie to make people laugh will be cursed by Allah. Look at that. You got comedians all over the place lying when they make jokes. But in Islam, it's actually stressed that God Almighty will build a house in paradise for the one, for even when he's lying. This blew my mind. This is what we teach our kids, that even when you're telling a joke, do not lie in the joke. And this is something just so innocent, isn't it? So many. But look at the stress, what's stressed upon in Islam, that even if you are telling a joke, to be honest when you're joking. Another authentic hadith in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said, the believer does not lie, does not commit treason, and does not break promises. The Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him, when he was approached, he was asked, can the believer be a coward? You know, sometimes you get this anxiety, this fear, maybe to go into battle. Yeah, he could be one of those, yes. A miser, he's like a little bit stingy. Yes, he said, can it be a liar? He said, no, the believer cannot be a liar. This is one of the most evil things. And imagine living your life 20 years just lying and deception. This concept is not a part of Islam, not a part of the Quran and the Sunnah. This is something that's being projected by these people onto Islam, onto Muslims, that we are free of. Now, I hope that we've cleared this up for Elon Musk and the like, and he can finally leave off this conspiracy theory. Now, as we opened up the show with Matt Walsh, hopefully more people can start looking into many of these truths that we were talking about way before Matt Walsh came on the scene now talking about the Christmas tree.
The early Christians never thought to cut down a tree and put it in their house for 3 weeks.
So he's just exposing the Christmas tree, but we're going far and beyond that. Have a look.
Christmas, Santa Claus, or Jesus being born in December 25th is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. In fact, Bible condemns putting up Christmas trees because it's a pagan ritual. December 25th is not the birthday of Jesus Christ, but it is a pagan festival called Saturnalia.
Just to add one more thing here, you have the, like the main Christian from the main Christian broadcasting network. Look at what he has to say.
All this business about mistletoe, pagan. Christmas trees, pagan. Giving out gifts, pagan. Every bit of it is pagan. Every single bit of it is pagan. We've Christianized it all.
That's Pat Robinson. What do you got to say after that? But that's unfortunate. They continue on, just like Matt Walsh, just because of his wife, environment, after he exposes people to the truth, but then he goes back to the lie.
My wife wants to go get a Christmas tree today, so we're going to go do that.
Because people are like, where are we going to go? That's where Islam comes in, submission to the Creator. You get stuck on some Arabic concept, Arabic words, but if you're living during the time of Jesus, he spoke Aramaic, synonymous what? With Arabic. So when Jesus said Allah Ha, that's the God he worshiped in Aramaic. In Arabic, Allah, this is the same God that Jesus, when he was saying, Ilah, Ilah, laba sabachthani, why have you forsaken me? Allah, Allah, this is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And where are you going to go now with all these lies and distortion that's out there? We just cleared one up. What about all the rest of it? When you look at these pagan holidays and the festivals and whatnot, and paganism that's crept all over individuals' religion, and the concept of God being a man, dying for your sins, all of these things. The only escape is to submit yourself humbly to the will of your Creator. It's even in the Lord's Prayer. O our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is Islam. This is the concept that was there since the first man, Adam. He was told to what? To be a Christian, to be a Buddhist, to be a monk? No, he was told to submit his will to the will of God. This is Islam. This is that concept. And a Muslim is one who does the action of Islam. He's a submitter, the one who submits to the will of God. And now, when you see even Santa Claus, this man portraying Santa Claus, what's he saying? What's he doing?
Ashhadu. Ashhadu. Anna.
He just took his shahada, because even when you look at it, this is the same testimony that if you're living during the time of Abraham and Moses and Jesus, I'll give you an example, you would have said this very declaration in John 17:3, and it stated that Jesus said, and this is life eternal, testifying, this is how you get to paradise, that they may know you, not himself, God in three in the Trinity. He said, know you, the only true God. And who have you sent as a messenger? Jesus. This is the verse. Look at it. It's loud and clear. You had explicit and then implicit verses. From the clear, lucid, explicit verses, you see him separating himself from God, that he wasn't one in three. You see him clearly separating himself from God because he was like Abraham. Abraham was sent, not as a God or a son of God. Son of God, metaphorically, okay, we're on the same page. But literally, what did God have? Another baby God? You know that does not make sense. So Santa Claus sees the truth, this man acting as Santa Claus, and he says what Jesus said. He's living it today because Prophet Muhammad was prophesied, as we said, by Jesus, and he's the last and final messenger. So now you declare what Santa declared. Ashhadu, repeat after me. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And what does that mean? I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except the Creator of the heavens and the earth, God Almighty. In Arabic, Allah. Allaha. You want to say it in Aramaic? Allaha. Nothing is worthy of worship. And Muhammad, just like Abraham, Moses, Jesus, he is just the final messenger. So Elon Musk and the rest, look into his life sincerely. Do this homework. Ask earnestly within yourself. Say, the Creator of the heavens and earth, guide me, guide me, guide me. You got people like Elon Musk. He just got to connect. He's got all this money. He's got all these resources. Connect with us. Let's talk. Let's sit down. Ask any questions you want. And we can go ahead and give you the answers to the purpose of life, why you've been created, why you're here, the description of the paradise, hellfire. Everything is laid out. And then you make a decision. But you're earnestly seeking to want to know the truth. People are trying to get to Mars, get to all over because they're trying to expand life. But we're going to die. then you're going to have to answer on the day of judgment. And Islam has the blueprint how you can be successful, not only in this life, but the next life that is forever. And why is Islam constantly being under attack? Because the truth that is rooted in it. Ask your creator of the heavens and earth, because that's the only way that you can find true purpose, live a life of contentment, peace, happiness, to fill that void in your heart, and then meet God successfully, living how you're supposed to live, and then attaining the Jannah, the paradise, in the next life. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Don't forget, if you like, I'd like to give you a free copy of the Quran so you can read for yourself. Go to thedeanshow.com. That's my gift from me to you. And we see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. I want to thank you guys for tuning into The Dean Show. Go ahead and hit this like button right now, so we can generate more people to watch this video. Subscribe right now if you haven't already. Many of you are watching, you have not subscribed. Hit the subscribe button and comment. Leave us your comments. Let us know what you like about this video, this topic, or if you like other topics for us to cover, go ahead and engage with us. We'll see you next time. Assalamu alaikum. Oh, and don't forget, we have another one right here you can watch, a topic, and another one right here. Assalamu alaikum.